Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In today's bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. This month of February is full of interviews, and you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources we mention, and any of the free downloads that I love to share. It's also the best place to go to connect with the person we are talking to in this episode and all of our guests from February. This episode is sponsored by the Lenovo EDU community, which you can find at education.lenovo.com. This free platform lets you join groups to connect with education experts, to find videos and articles on educational content, including some exclusive blog posts I put together for them. Head over to education.lenovo.com to sign up for free. This week's episode is titled, Why You Should Add Wakelet to Your Tool Belt, with Rachel Cota. Rachel and I first connected on Twitter, and we are both Adobe Creative educators. Although you'll hear us talk about the ACE program a little bit, our main focus is Wakelet. Wakelet is a free tool, and as you'll hear in this episode, Rachel and I talk about lots of reasons to add Wakelet to your tool belt, including bookmarking resources, providing focus for breakout rooms, and sharing student work. You'll even hear a connection to the 200-word challenge that I featured on my blog in late last year. Let's go ahead and dive into the conversation. All right. Well, welcome, Rachel. Thank you so much for carving out some time to talk with me on the podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I gave a little bit of an introduction, how we first connected through the Adobe Creative Educator Program. I saw, we follow each other on Twitter, and I saw one of your tweets about Wakelet, which is what I'm excited to talk to with you today. But I'm hoping you can start us off with just sharing, what is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
So I'm currently the lead teacher for technology of learning, and my day-to-day has changed since I started in the role. Like many people, I joined this role just at the start of lockdown. So at the time, I was delivering a lot of training to educators remotely. And then when we went back into school in the UK, that then shifted into a coaching role. So I was working closely with educators to support them in utilizing tech to enhance teaching and learning. And then that's again shifted back into distance learning again. So not only providing support for teachers, but also just continuing to deliver that ongoing support to schools across the UK. We have a program in the UK called the Department for Education EdTech Demonstrator Program, and that's about supporting other schools around the country with the use of EdTech and developing their wider digital strategy.
Well, I can imagine, same thing here in the States where I am, just so much back and forth, and supporting teachers along the pathway has been such a challenge. And it's interesting because I know this year in our topic for today, talking about Wakelet, it was one that I've been pointing out and sharing with educators that I work with, because Wakelet really helps make collections and bring resources together, especially when we're doing something new for the first time, or when we're not, in a physical space, right? Either with colleagues or with students. And so, Wakelet is definitely high on my list of go-to or recommended tools. But if someone hasn't used it before, how would you describe it to them?
So I think the easiest way to describe Wakelet to any educators is that place to store all of your ideas and resources that you want to save and use. It's almost that equivalent to something like Pinterest, which we used to store all of our bookmarks and then probably go back to, but never utilize regularly. Whereas I found when I shifted to using Wakelet that actually I now store everything on there. And because it's so easy to share with other educators, it means that they have that ongoing collection. So they don't need me to suddenly send out a new email and say, oh, look, I found new ways to use Adobe Spark, or I found new ways to use Jamboard. It's automatically updated. So they just need to go back and check, and they will see those new posts, tweets, ideas, templates, and more.
I love that connection to Pinterest, because I definitely feel like there's that bookmarking connection and all the things that you said about the real-time update, all right, the collecting of resources. I think that's what makes Wakelet really shine. I know when I first got in there, I was really excited to see that you could reorganize or prioritize content, right, and put it in a different order for someone, and that you didn't necessarily just have to have links to things like on Pinterest, but that you could, you know, combine a few different types of content. So you mentioned that one way you've used Wakelet is to create those collections for some of your colleagues, right? And instead of emailing them the new thing right in the middle of the day, just adding it there. How else have you used Wakelet or have seen it used?
Yeah, so I've seen lots of different use cases for Wakelet. I think one of the sort of perks of my role is being able to store all of those ideas together. But it's also a really great way to share ideas and sort of to develop a project that you're working on. So when you're planning an event and you want to have all of your different information, details, links to videos, and all of that can be stored in one location. And because you can collaborate and you can include things like direct Twitter links as well. So if you've had a Twitter chat, then you can quickly pull that into Wakelet just simply by searching either for the hashtag or the user. So it does make it really easy. And also it's a great way for children to share their learning as well. So you can set up a collection where children can post their work. So our school recently took part in the Wakelet and Adobe for Education writing challenge. Mm-hmm. And we did the 200-word writing challenge in Adobe Spark and then stored them all in a Wakelet collection, which our children just loved because they could not only post their work, but they could also see everyone else in the school as well.
And that's such a great connection to something I know I shared on the blog, that 200 word challenge, and I got to do it live, right? Also with the Adobe team, which was really fun. And it's such an interesting use case because sometimes we think of things as just being for one group, right? Like this is just for me to curate or collect resources to share with colleagues, or this is just for me to have bookmarks that I would share with students. But I like the idea of having it as a growing, living, collaborative space for students too. Sometimes, you know, if we have or we collect a lot of student work and we're excited to share it with the world, that can be a little overwhelming. But if you have that one Wakelet link to that specific project, and the 200 word challenge is such a doable, fun example of that, you know, that makes it really easier to connect kids with the authentic audience. So I think that's really, really special. You know, the collaboration feature wasn't the first thing that jumped out to me, but as soon as I saw it, I think my wheels were spinning a little bit too. Now, if someone is looking to just kind of quickly get started with Wakelet, would you recommend having them kind of gather some favorite resources or make a top 10 list? Like, what would be maybe a task or an idea you would give someone, even in a professional learning setting, to just get familiar with Wakelet?
So I think one of the key things that sort of got me started on it was to sort of find, you know, either those bookmarks that you always sort of pin together and then have to go back and either set up folders to try and find them all, or to sort of collect all of those templates that are fantastic. And you know, you want to go back to them at some point, but they often end up getting lost in your drive or deep within bookmark folders. So that was how I initially got started. And probably like many educators, we very easily sit on Twitter and we'll hit save on every brilliant idea. And I remember going back through and thinking, oh gosh, I'd saved ideas, you know, 4 years ago when I started using Twitter that I just had never accessed before, because by the time I wanted to find them, they were well gone. So what Wakelet has allowed me to do is to actually set up a different collection for what I'm looking for. So I try and group them in either subject area or sort of by a specific app, depending on my use case. And then I will just pull all of my resources together. And I highly recommend that if you are planning on using it, is to install the Wakelet extension, because it makes it so easy for any website you go onto, and also on your phone as well. Download the Wakelet app, because then anytime you find a really good idea on Twitter, or you're reading an article, or you're finding sort of anything on a blog post, then actually you can export it and save it to Wakelet directly.
Those are a whole bunch of really great tips right there, right? For someone getting started, just having them focus in on that one topic, like you said. I know sometimes I start with like broad categories, and then I immediately am thinking to myself, you know, oh, I really should have had a subtopic here, you know, or something like that. But I love that idea of having the extension or the app ready to go. I think it's something I try really hard to be reflective on when I am navigating different spaces. Like, am I someone who would save this in this moment? Like, am I actually going to pause and stop? What barriers get in my way for being productive? So having the little extension on your browser, I think, is so useful for someone who might just want to get in that habit or behavior of going through it. And one thing, Rachel, I thought was really cool when I was first getting into, you know, exploring Wakelet, was the search option, that there's just a lot of collections already out there. And some of them will actually let you duplicate them or like make a copy and then you can add your own stuff. I don't know if that's something you've done or if you've seen other people do that before.
Yeah, I always go to explore, especially when I'm looking for new ideas. So if I feel that I've sort of got stuck to a point where I want to know more. Recently, I was looking in particular at augmented reality, and I wanted to find sort of just some new ideas that I just didn't seem to be getting when I was scrolling through the internet. And actually, by going into Wakelet, you're able to see top educators that are posting and sharing their ideas. And there's so much content in there that you can, as you said, either copy or add to your own collection, and then just access that and be able to share it as well.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I think why it kind of reminds me of Pinterest almost too, right? You can search other people's boards, right? Or you can find other things with inside of the space, which I think makes it really special too. And so I wanted to ask you, I'm not a Wakelet ambassador, but I don't know if you've been on the Clubhouse app. That's like the newer social media app with all these different rooms and people talk about things. And I was just jumping into a Clubhouse room with a bunch of Wakelet loving folks this morning, coincidentally, from our conversation. And so there were a lot of, you know, Wakelet power users on that particular call or in that kind of group or virtual room, whatever you want to call it. And so I'm wondering, I mean, I would put you probably in that power user category, right? But for other people who are power users out there listening to this, or who saw the title of this episode and, you know, Wakelet caught their attention, is there something you'd recommend to people who maybe aren't brand new to Wakelet, but are, you know, ready to dive in a little bit deeper or try out something that maybe you found or stumbled across that you didn't realize you could even do with Wakelet?
Yeah, I definitely recommend anyone that's sort of beyond their sort of getting started with Wakelet to definitely join the Wakelet community. It's such a huge global community and everyone's willing to share. And I think that's one of the great things about the community. And the Wakelet community have three levels. So they have that community member that anyone can join, and you get to not only test any pre-release features, but also to be able to provide feedback. So if you're using Wakelet and you're seeing that actually I need this, then you can submit that feedback and also find out when new things are coming through. And then there's also that community leader. So if you've been using Wakelet for some time and you've been sharing that regularly and delivering training sessions, then you can actually work on that. And I've conveniently put all of these different badges and EdTech certifications into one easy to access website called Badge EdTech. And you can find it just simply by going to badgeedtech.com. And this is where all the different EdTech certifications are. When I started, I was just a teacher and I didn't have a background in IT or technology, but I'd always had a passion for using technology in the classroom. So what I wanted to do and what I started doing was obviously to upskill myself. I started completing these small micro-credentials, but I found it so hard to find. And I'm sure you may have had this problem as well. And so what I wanted to do as part of my Google Innovator project was actually to pull all of these together so that any educators that want to upskill and they want to know how to use any EdTech tool more effectively, that they can go here, find all of the information, and then start to work through that.
And it is such a great resource. And what I'm going to do as well as anyone who's listening to this episode, depending if you're on my website listening, you'll see the link so you can go check it out. Or if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, usually there's the link to the show notes right there so you can go find it. Rachel put together and this fantastic online space. It's also something really great to look at if you are a Google Sites person, because what you've created is such a good example of what you can do with Google Sites. But if you've been thinking about doing a ambassador programs, it's a fantastic resource. So I'm so glad you mentioned that one, Rachel. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right when it comes to what a power user might appreciate or want is that community. So I know we're part of that Adobe Creative Educator community, which has been really fantastic for gathering ideas and connecting folks like how we connected. And it's also a place where you have a question or a obstacle, right? Or you want to brainstorm with someone. So I love that that's something that someone who has spent, you know, enough time in a space might decide that they want to go and be a part of. I know that I just gather so many ideas from from those kind of communities.
And I think that's one of the great things. I think as teachers, we love networking. We love that opportunity to connect with other educators. And I think that a lot of these global communities and a lot of the global EdTech tools have really tried to grow that community that's focused around utilizing that tool. And I think one of the great things that we can do is to continue to share the different ways that we use it, because we're all different in different parts of the world. And the way that we use a tool is always going to be different. And sometimes it's just an idea that you may have that someone can take in a completely different direction based on a different topic or a different idea. I know that in the States, the ISTE standards are a big part of the education. And I've just sort of been working through my ISTE certification here, but it's not as common. So a lot of those areas aren't covered. So it is really helpful to develop those connections with global educators. And sometimes it can be hard to reach out to those. And I think that's one thing that's been great about the Wakelet community, is that there are so many educators worldwide and in places that we wouldn't connect with probably just through the Adobe community, for example.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know about you and your experience. You know, I feel, you know, when I was teaching in the classroom, you know, I was in a pretty small school. So we all knew each other really well. It was a very open door kind of school where we could go in and ask each other lots of questions. But I know sometimes that's not the case for classroom teachers, especially, or, you know, if you are a digital coach and you don't have someone else kind of doing something similar to you nearby, or you're in a massive school and it just doesn't have that kind of close knit, you know, feeling to it, it can be hard to find someone, you know, face to face, right, to bounce ideas off of. So I think the communities like that are so valuable. And Rachel, you shared lots of ways that educators that you have been using Wakelet, from the collections of resources for colleagues, the 200 word challenge, which is such a wonderful one full of student work products. Are there any other ways you've seen educators using Wakelet that you want to make sure people know about?
Yeah, so one of the great things that I've seen educators using Wakelet for have been breakout spaces. So I think a lot of educators sort of, I guess, pre-COVID, when breakout didn't mean just breaking out in a breakout room, was, you know, those escape room style challenges where you do have those different websites that you need to go and find those clues and access that information. And I think that's been such a rich resource that people have been able to curate and pull together into a Wakelet because you have that ability to add multiple content in, to include videos, to include text information directly. So rather than it just being a whole bunch of links like in Pinterest, then you can actually add your files, you can add those videos in, you can add sort of key bits of information about where they need to follow, include things like images and PDFs in. So they've got so much information, and then teachers have used things like embedding Flipgrid videos in so that children sort of have to go in, respond to their Flipgrid, and then continue to work through that escape room.
Yeah, right. And it's wild to think about how, you know, some of these new vocabulary words that we're all using during distance learning, like a breakout room, right? Or having that call to action around what someone's going to do when they're in that space, or, you know, an asynchronous or self-paced experience. You know, these are the sort of tools that can really come in handy. And you also mentioned something that I think is important to highlight, that it's not just links or tweets, right? You can have files, you can have interactive activities that are linked out to as well. So if you are, you know, if there's someone listening and they are maybe working with an educator that's not feeling so tech savvy, but they have a lot of PDFs that they love, you know, on their computer, they could really pull that into Wakelet and then start building in some of the other interactive components too. So just so much that you can do with a tool like Wakelet. And I know, Rachel, you shared your Badge EdTech website, which is just awesome and a really good resource for anyone looking for badging around, you know, learning different tools and being part of different communities. But I know you are also on Twitter too. So where are some of the other places that listeners can connect with you and learn more about your work?
Yeah, so if anyone can contact me directly on Twitter at Tech Miss C. I always love being able to give back and to help other educators. I think it's so important that we just continue to share and to network. I think, you know, it's so important that we can establish those friendships with other educators. And, you know, so many of my close friends now I've made just through Twitter and just from networking with them. You know, I haven't met so many people, you know, online that, you know, have now become my close friends. So I think that's one thing as well. And I'm also on Instagram at TechMissC. So anyone that does want to contact through that way, or you'll always find me sort of behind the scenes at Badge EdTech on Twitter as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for taking the time to be here with me today. I'll make sure that all the listeners, you can just click on the show note link. You can also find Rachel's contact information there as well. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me on.
It was so wonderful chatting with Rachel. And let's finish up this episode, like we always do, by making this EdTech easy. First, decide on one way you might want to use Wakelet. Next, create an account or open up the platform. Then add content, organize content, and maybe add collaborators. Finally, share your collection with students, families, or colleagues. Don't forget that you can get all the info from today's episode, the show notes page, by going to classtechtips.com/podcast. That's where you'll find Rachel's info. And depending on where you're listening to this, if you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, you should see the show notes link right there for you to click on. Otherwise, just head to classtechtips.com/podcast to find this episode.
A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, the Lenovo EDU community. This free platform lets you connect with education experts and find videos and articles on educational content. You can sign up for free at education.lenovo.com, and you'll even find some exclusive blog posts I put together for them too.
Thanks again for stopping by today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Can I ask you for a big favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Or tell a friend about the podcast, or post a link to this episode on your social media. By leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, just scroll to the bottom of the page and tap the Write a Review button to leave a sentence on why you like the podcast. It seems like kind of a silly thing, but it makes a big difference and makes it a lot easier for other people to find this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.